Now that you're here, Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible. Now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6 tonight. We'll take a message called Inheriting the Promises. And beginning with Hebrews 6, you know, many times when we think of Hebrews 6, we think of the turning away, but there's some other words of admonition for us. And begin reading at verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, because you ordained us to the inheritance before the foundations of the world while we were yet in thee. And you called us to the adoption, and you brought forth the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of yourself to give us that spirit of adoption, getting us ready for our inheritance, and having already received the down payment, which is the earnest of our expectation, the down payment, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful, Father, that you're giving us the very mind that is necessary for the child to have the mind of his father so that he might be adoptable. Even though he is a son, he needs to be have the mind of his father before he can be adopted into the family. So, Father, we're thankful for this. And we ask you, Lord, now to help us as we would study thy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, from who is this Melchizedek? Brother Branham, in his opening prayer, he said, let us bow our heads and pray. He said, Dear Heavenly Father, we hear the song of Only Believe, and it makes us to know that all we have to do to inherit any of God's promises is just believe them. In fact, in another message, Brother Branham said, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. He said, and the right mental attitude is believing that it's thus saith the Lord. So he says, it makes us to know that all we have to do to inherit the promises of God is just believe them, for it is written, all things are possible to them that believe. As we cry, as the man who had the epileptic child, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. We thank thee for thy great power, thy great revelation of thyself to us in this last days. It makes our heart most happy and joyful to know that we have come in contact with the living God, who vindicates it right back in physical and material evidence as he did in the days gone by and as he has promised for this day. We're so grateful to thee, our God, this dark day when no one seems to know which way to go. We're so glad that we found the safety zone, the retreat. Now bless us tonight, Lord, as we speak of thy word and the promises that's been given to us. May we nurture them in our heart, and may we cherish them with reverence and obey them with godly discipline. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Paul said in Romans 7:24-25, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Then in 1 Corinthians 15:57, Paul said, But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, your labor on the job can be in vain. You can do the job and get it just about 99% done, and the person come along and say, well, that's not the way I wanted it. And you got to start over. And your labor may be in vain because you lose it all. You know, he said, but we know that in the Lord our labor is not in vain. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You can build a house, a tornado come and get it. Build your crops, a hail. But your labor in the Lord is never in vain. Unless, of course, you're those who say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? And he says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. But if your heart's right, as Brother Bram said, we should be brothers to those who love the Lord Jesus. It doesn't matter how deeply they are in their doctrine. We should love them. Then we must admit that the victory was given to us. And if it's been given to us, then it is a gift. And if a gift, then it belongs to us. Whether we choose to abide in it, it is still ours. It's a gift. If I give you something, it's yours. Look, we have done things for ministers overseas that after we gave to brothers in the very beginning of our missionary work, we helped two brothers, paid off one brother's mortgage and paid another brother. We gave him money to build a house. And then when we didn't give him any more after that because we found them putting their hand in the till and taking money that belonged to other ministers, we cut them off. And you should have seen the nasty, nasty letters that circulated against me. But, as Brother Vail says, God gives us the funds. We're stewards of it. We give it to another, he becomes a steward of it. Whatever he does with it, that's between him and God, and he will have to answer. And you will have to answer for every word, every idle word that you say. You'll have to answer, you'll have to give account, and for every penny that you have. And what you do with it, you will have to give an account to God at one day. So it behooves us then to give God everything. I mean, just give him our all. I'm not saying here, let's get a big deacon that weighs about 300 pounds and grab everybody by the ankles and shake them, fleece them. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, in your heart, you should know what you're doing with your money, whether it's being done rightly by God's word or whether it's not being done rightly. Well, in fact, as we examine the promises that Brother Branham spoke in this opening statement, I want you to notice again, he said, dear Heavenly Father, we hear the song of Only Believe, and it makes us to know that that's all we have to do to inherit any of God's promises is just believe them. For it is written, all things are possible to them that believe. As we cry as the man who had the epileptic child, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Romans 9:15, Paul says, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I shall have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor is it of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And this is what we believe for. We believe a God, not just a God, but a God who is our Father. A God who is great and a God who's full of mercy to show us mercy. And notice Brother Bram said, we hear this song of Only Believe. It makes us to know that that's all we have to do to inherit any of God's promises is just believe them. But how many people do we have that live far under their privilege as a son of God? You realize, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They, the ones who believe, shall lay their hands on the sick. And they shall be healed. I've seen it time after time after time. Where God honors his word if we honor his word. And remember this, only those who are ordained to eternal life can believe. Acts 13:48, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now did you know that Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 9:29? He said, according to your faith, what? According to your faith, be it what? Huh? Be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you. You see? And what is faith? It's a revelation. Something that's been revealed to you. And did you know that if it has been revealed to you, then it belongs to you. It's yours. It certainly does. That's what God himself said in Deuteronomy 29:29. He said, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works, or all the words of this law. Therefore, the thing which are revealed to us belong to us, and that is, they are meant to produce something in us. He said that we may do all the words of this law. Now, we have a vindicated prophet that gave us warning. He said, there's mercy, then judgment. He said, God sends His word, and then He sends famine, plagues, pestilence, and war. Now, we know that these judgments are coming. God warned us through a vindicated prophet that they're coming. What do you think would have happened with Noah if he hadn't done what the promise was? The promise said, build an ark. There's coming judgment. There's coming rain. What if he would have said, well, you know what? If God don't do it, it ain't going to get done. How many times I've heard that saying? If God don't do it, it ain't going to get done. God didn't build the ark, brother, sister. Noah built the ark. Noah built the ark. Jesus warned them, don't be in the city. When you see that abomination of desolation, don't be in the city and be caught on the Sabbath there. Why? Because they shut down the gates of the city. You can't get out. And you can't get in. And what happened? In 70 AD, when Titus came in, those that saw that banner, that abomination of desolation coming, they said, we better get out. We better not be here on the Sabbath because they'll lock us in and they're coming. And so not one Christian was killed during that time, but 1 million people died in that siege where they starved them out. And the people ended up eating their own children. They had to do something, didn't they? Brother Branham said, when Moses said to the people, he said, go forward. God didn't honor it till he himself stepped into the water. And then the waters parted. There's something that you have to do. Faith is not just, oh, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. It's not just a mental thing. If you believe it, then act as though you believe it. Like Brother Branham talked about the people that were healed. He said he pronounced healing on a sister came up in the line. He prayed for the sister. The Holy Spirit said, thus saith the Lord. She was healed. She got back in line again. She didn't feel it. It wasn't a sister, it was a brother. He was blind. He was from Cleveland, I think, up that way. And he was the old fellow with the beard. Brother Bram talks about him. Anybody remember his name? John, the guy with the beard? Anyway, Brother Bram prayed for him. And he got back in line. He said, well, I'm still blind. Brother Bram said, What did it say? Did not it say, believe? Go believe? Yes. Well, then go believe. Go confess it. So he began to confess it. He sold newspapers on the corner. He got out and said, you know, extra, extra, read all about it. He said, I'm healed, I'm healed. People mocked him to scorn. For 2 weeks it went on like that. And one day he was sitting in the barber chair. And the barber said, hey, John, he said, wasn't there a faith healer in town? John said, yep. He said, glory to God, I'm healed. And the guy started mocking. And John said, nope, glory to God, I'm healed. And right then, his eyes opened up. And he went running down the street, pronouncing to everybody that he was healed. He said, the barber running after him. Time after time after time, you hear those testimonies where the people did not get instantaneous healing. There's a couple women in one neighborhood that for about 2 months afterwards, they kept confessing their healing. And one day, he said, the Holy Spirit came through that neighborhood. And both sisters were healed on the same morning. Therefore, the things which are revealed belong to us. And that is, that they are meant to produce something in us. He said that we may do all the words of this law. Now the word do used here does not necessitate works, but it speaks rather of observing or to attend to in order to acquire, and thus to step forward and to act upon, as Brother Branham preached the message, hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the Word of God. And if we truly do hear, then we will truly recognize, and if we truly recognize, then we will truly act upon what we hear and recognize. And the acting upon shows that we have truly recognized the Word for what it truly is. And that makes the Word manifested to us a reality, not just some sort of intellectual conception to debate upon. It's like one brother now is saying that the rapture, because Brother Branham said the rapture is a revelation, he says, see, it's not a physical thing. He said, that's just a myth. And so he's teaching people that, you know, the rapture is already taking place. It's a revelation. We're not going to be caught away. We're not going to change from mortal to immortal. We are what we are. I feel sorry for him because he's missed it. And that is why Brother Branham could say, God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass. Then if you actually see that word come to pass and you know that it is the word which God had promised in his word, then when you see it, it is revealed to you. And when it is revealed to you, it becomes yours. Because God promised us that whatsoever is revealed belongs unto us and to our children. Then let's look at what Brother Branham says next. He says, Dear Heavenly Father, we hear this song of only believe. It makes us to know that that's all we have to do to inherit the promises of God. Just believe them. For it is written, all things are possible to them that believe. And we cry as the man who had the epileptic child, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Now that sounds like a contradictory statement. But what he's saying is, Lord, I do believe. But there's things about me that maybe aren't showing that I do believe. Help me in those areas. So that my total life is a confession. My total life is saying the same thing as my heart is saying. Now what we see him telling us here is that if God said it and we believe it, then it's ours. And notice how he clarifies this by quoting the man who had the epileptic child. He said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Even though we seem to have our doubts, it is not your doubts that you must look upon. But our focus should be upon what God said. And we should ask God to help us through our doubts. Let me use an example of what I mean from the scripture. Let's turn to Matthew 14:22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side, and while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him, said, Lord, if thou be, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. Now notice, there's the promise. Come. Jesus said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Notice he walked. It didn't say that he took a step or two. He actually walked on the water. How many minutes did he walk? How many steps did he take? It really doesn't matter. He walked on the water. The Bible says he walked. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Because Jesus said, Come, that was a promise. As long as he had his focus on Christ, he was walking with him. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he became afraid and began sinking. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, he didn't go down instantly. How many people could be standing on the water, look around, and as you begin to sink, boats begin to sink as they fill with water. But human beings don't begin to sink. Human beings just go plop. And he said, Lord, save me, as he was sinking. Now, he didn't go down instantly, for if he had, he would not have been able to blurt out, "Lord, save me." It might have been, "Lord, blah, 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 blah." But certainly it wouldn't have been, "Lord, save me." Now, I believe his sinking was gradual, like the waters turning from ice under his feet to snow. And as he began to sink, he cried out to the Lord to rescue him from drowning. And notice what took place. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. So he wasn't all the way down yet, was he? Immediately, Jesus reached out and caught a hold of Peter. Jesus didn't wait until he had gone under three times like a bobbing buoy. But Jesus immediately grabbed a hold of him. And the Weymouth translation says, "instantly," and therefore we know that Jesus did not leave any room for error. He knew exactly what he must do to keep Peter from being lost, and he instantly, immediately, and it means at once. Then after the rescue comes the rebuke. And he said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Notice the wind ceased once the walk was over. Once the test was over, the winds stopped. But how many times when God tests you, your focus then becomes the test instead of the promise? Michael knows what I'm talking about. Notice the wind ceased once the walk was over. Once the test was over, the wind stopped. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Not, "Thou art God the Son." Not, "Thou art God." But, "Thou art the Son of God." Even when Peter seemed to have faith to walk on water, he did okay until his eyes got off the promise. And they got onto the waves and the wind. Then he lost his faith. And when he lost his faith, he began to sink. But notice that Jesus was right there to reach out and take a hold of his hand and help him to walk again in the promise of God. When I stood there in Africa, and those winds were beating down, and that hail was coming down, and that roof was lifting off, and something spoke and said, "Take charge of the meeting." And I began to pray and rebuke the devil. I didn't focus at that point on the noise, on the winds, or on the hail. I focused on taking charge of the meeting as Jesus took charge of the waves and stilled the storm, as Brother Branham stilled the storm in Colorado. And I did it because I had a promise. He said, "Did not I send you?" I said, "Yes, Lord, you sent me." He said, "Then take charge of the meeting." When I was down in Panama last week, we had a different type of storm. We had a ministerial storm, arguing and fussing. Every time somebody got up to speak, it was just arguing and fussing going on. And I was being grieved in my spirit. And so I said to the Lord, "Father, instead of me waiting another two, three people before I speak, let me speak next." And I went to my room and I prayed and I said, "Father, I just commit this unto thee. I know that you want me to speak now." And I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm taking charge of these meetings. And I'm taking control of every spirit that is here for thy glory." And I went back to the room. They said, "We'd like you to speak now." I said, "All right." I knew that God was going to take charge. And as I spoke, not one person opened their mouth. There was a real spirit of reverence. The whole atmosphere of the meetings changed. Why? Because I was an eloquent speaker? No. Because I went to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I know you called me. And I'm asking you in Jesus Christ's name to take charge of these spirits." And he did. And I went there knowing that he would. You see, faith is a revelation. It's knowing that it's a reality. Because those things that are revealed belong unto us. And when the Lord puts a revelation in your heart, it belongs to you. When Peter, when he seemed to have faith to walk on water, he did okay until he got his eyes off the promise and got him on the wind. Now, he can't even see wind. But he heard it. Job said, "The things that I fear the most, they come upon me." Are you going to go then by your fears and create an atmosphere of doubt in your life? Or are you going to go by faith and hold only to the Word of God? Didn't Brother Brown say, "I no longer call you church, I call you what? Bride." Then confess it. Believe it. I'm looking forward to a change of the body. I'm going to receive it. You need to look the same. In Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." God said it, it's going to happen. How can we apply this to our lives? In 1 John 1:9, He said, "If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." James 5:13, "Is there any sick among you? Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin." Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, but he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it didn't. Michael, you remember 10 years ago or more, we're sitting there in the church. It was 102 degrees for a whole week, 7 days. My wife had gotten sick. Dwayne Bach had gotten sick. Steve Gray had gotten sick. Different ones had gotten sick on the job. So there's prayer requests that came up. They said, you know, so-and-so's been sick. So-and-so's been sick. So-and-so's been sick. The heat's just been terrible. 102 degrees for, it was like 6 days in a row or 7 days in a row. They said it was supposed to be that way for another 3-4 days. Till the middle of the next week. And I asked the church to bow their heads. And when we bowed our heads, I said, "Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're asking you to change the weather, to change the temperature by 30 degrees. And then I said, "Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I know you're the prince and power of the air. I command you by the power of God's word, not by any power I have, but by the power of God's word, to stop. Get your hands off. Your stinger was pulled out in Calvary. You have no right." After service, we went to eat. When we came out of the place where we ate, we went outside and there was just a little cloud, just one cloud in the whole sky, and it looked like about the size of your fist, way up there. Just a little black little cloud, just hanging there. I remember looking up to that and I said, "Brother, something's about to happen." I could remember just when I saw that. I thought of Elijah when he looked up, he saw that little cloud after 3.5 years of drought. And then when he prayed for rain, he said, "I see the abundance of rain." The Bible said he ran down the mountainside faster than the horses and chariots could go. We're standing there and I said, "Brothers, you see that cloud right up there?" I said, "Something's fixing to happen." A few minutes later, we went over to a Lowe's to just kind of walk around, look at carpet, just to kind of spend some time fellowshipping. And while we were in there, less than 10 minutes, the lights in the whole place went out. Just blacked out. I turned to Michael and said, "Something's happening outside." So we made our way to the front door, and sure enough, we could see from just when we walked out through the door, you could see from
from left to right, from west to east, as far as the eye could see in both directions, this big old cloud, it looked like about a mile high, like a big bulldozer coming through. And in a matter of minutes, the temperature dropped from 102 down to 70. Now, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Branham said, if we have been born again, we have enough Holy Spirit in us to create worlds. Then how about creating an atmosphere to change situations? How about enough creative power in us to pray for someone whose heel has been cut off and have it grow back again? To pray for someone who's been blind and they can now see, to hear, and they can, or who are deaf and they can hear, who are lame and they can walk. You see, God keeps showing us time and time and time and time again. It lays within your laps. Brother Bram said, but the people are so wrongly focused that it's going to take to squeeze to get our focus back. He said, then you'll see the third pole used in a way which it was intended to be used. Now I want you to go tonight thinking on this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Then once you have put it under the blood of Jesus Christ, don't bring it up again. Once your spouse puts it under the blood, ask your forgiveness, if you've been arguing, fussing, whatever, and you put it under the blood together. Brother Branham said, and I verified this with Brother Billy Paul, the person that takes it out from under the blood is guilty of that sin. The person that takes the sin out from under the blood is guilty of that sin because they've resurrected that sin. If we have committed our sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for the other that ye may be healed. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We believe, Father, that creative power lays within us as images of your Son Jesus, who came in your image. And the scripture says that we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son in a vast family of brethren. It also tells us that what can come against us? No depth, nor height, nor principality, nor power, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Help us, Father, to know our position in Christ. Help us to inherit the promises. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make His face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.